Hey there. Quick note about this episode. It came together quickly and unexpectedly. Got a call saying Bob Menery was available and ready to do the podcast. I've been trying to get Bob on the show for a while. Packed up everything and headed out the door. Before I did, I had to grab something to drink, and it just jumped out at me. I grabbed the Whistle Pig Boss Hog 8 Lapu Lapu's Pacific. This is one of the great whiskeys in the world, $500 a bottle. It is just rare, outstandingly complex, bottled around 106 proof. It's amazing. It's just a very special whiskey for a very special episode, and let's get to it, shall we?
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Welcome to the show. Just over an hour ago, I was shirtless in my yard in my fortified bunker in Venice, California, doing what I do, looking through my phone, enjoying a little social media. Thought I'd check in on my old pal, Tim Bader, a.k.a. Timmy Bounceback, and I see that he's hanging out with Bob Menery. Now, I've been a Bob Menery fan for a few years. I've always wanted it. He's been a dream guest for the show. And I made a bold move and I texted Tim and I said, hey, why don't you two fuckers do my show? To which Tim almost immediately responded, no way.
No shot.
No shot. Bob's not going to do it. He's not doing it at all. And I wrote back and I gave sort of a list of some of the people that have been on the show. And I said, it's good enough for them, but not for Bob Menery. A minute later, phone rings, FaceTime. It's Bob Menery. He says, fuck it, I'll do your show. I said, when you want to do it? He said, right now.
First of all, I'm not Leonardo fucking DiCaprio, okay? First and foremost.
You're a big get, Bob.
I'm not. I mean, how many times do you have to hear the same commentary over and over again before you believe that is the content getting old, you think?
I do not think so. And you and I talked about this off the air. You first came to my attention a couple of years ago when you were almost strictly doing... Now you've evolved into a personality where I think the main draw is people follow you for your Instagram stories and the things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, early on, it was just almost purely, right?
Play-by-play
on videos, which was like nothing I'd ever heard before. And the first time by the way, as we're doing this, Tim is picking bugs out of the... What is going on right now?
This is the worst, by the way. This is
the most depressing apartment I've ever been in.
This is as bad as it gets. So real quickly, we call this place a depression den where we're at. I'm with Timmy Bounceback, who's my co-host on the River Magoo's podcast. Timmy's a dear friend of mine. This place that he lives in is fucking Guantanamo Bay.
But I own it. But
you own this place.
It's kind of a big deal.
Well, that's kind of a... And you are like Bel Air adjacent, I guess?
Yeah. Well, Beverly Hills adjacent.
Do you think that's the most desperate sounding? When people say that, where do you live? I'm from Beverly. The fuck does that mean?
I mean, I live in West Hollywood. I love WeHo. I mean, yeah. I've been here for
22
years.
I don't give a fuck where he lives. Can you please take a look at what's inside of this fucking apartment, please? Okay, we have one brown couch. We have a T-Rex dinosaur sitting on the bed that takes up 80% of the fucking apartment. We have three eggs and a piece of bacon in the refrigerator. And we got a box of used condoms sitting on the fucking mantle.
But we got good whiskey. And a cigar.
And good whiskey and a cigar. But it is an honor and a pleasure to be here. This is very kind of spontaneous thing. So,
well, I'm really glad you're both here. And to commemorate the occasion, I was like, I can't just bring anything today. Oh, so no. We got fancy and I brought the Whistle Pig, the Boss Hog 8, just released. I mean, this just came out. It's called Lapa. Pronounce that, Timmy.
Do you? Is this your drinking podcast? You always share a drink with the guest.
Always have something to drink.
So, where would you rank this as far as money invested into an alcohol bottle I want to see how important
this is. One of the most exclusive American whiskeys you're going to get, Whistle Pig. Okay, it was started by a guy named Dave Pickerel, who used to be at Maker's Mark. The last thing that Dave did was Metallica's whiskey, Blackened.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah,
he died.
Yeah, but what was the most the coolest bottle that you brought to somebody because they're important?
Right here,
probably right here.
Really?
Yeah,
that's right.
This is
staying in the Depression. Then
this is $500-$600 retail, but you can't get it retail. As soon as they put it out, it goes away, and then you got to buy it on the secondary market for thousands of dollars.
Okay, Bob, yeah. Brian.
So cheers to that.
Guys, this is amazing.
Brian's my brother. Come on.
We're going to get into it.
So Timmy knew my late brother. We've talked about him on the show. In fact, I think if you gave Brian an option, can you come back from the dead, but you got to live in this apartment, I think he'd stay dead.
I really do,
and I think he would.
Wait. Brian was a friend of Timmy's that died?
Yeah, Brian is.
Brian was my brother, and he died, and he was him and
there's
Tim were,
nobody that is 6 feet under earth that would change their position and come back into this fucking apartment. This place is the darkest, coldest place I've ever seen.
Do you believe the shit?
No,
it's grief here, man.
No, it's a good place. Like, here's the deal. I come here, like, Timmy. For anybody,
women hate this place. Hate it.
For anybody that doesn't know, this is Timmy's apartment is called the Depression Den. We call it the Depression Den because
it's a condo.
Hate to say it, majority of the people that are here are depressed at the time. So we fucking sit in here and we'll just talk about our ex girlfriends or girlfriends of the time and problems and whatnot. But for some reason, this apartment makes you feel pretty good at the end of the day.
It does have some vibes to it.
I bet there's a lot of memories here.
There are.
Not all of them horrific. Some of them, like, would you ever think about maybe just, I actually do like the place, but there's certain things, like, maybe make it less 70s.
He has done nothing to this fucking apartment. I came here 2.5 years ago.
Am I kidding?
The plant is still there. The fucking dog bones and the croutons sitting in the corner are still there as well. Nothing has moved. Nothing has changed. And that's that. So Timmy's apartment is a place to come if you're going through a lot of shit as a guy. If I'm ever like, fuck, I got problems with my girl, I'm like, got to go to the Depression Den. And I retreat to the Depression Den, and this is a place that makes you feel good.
Okay, hold on. Danny, Bob, would you both agree this is probably the nicest thing in the Depression
Den? This is now classed up the joint right there. You should probably get a little pedestal and put that right in the middle of the living room.
You're talking about the Boss Hog?
But there's this. I have the Whistle Pig.
I don't know why the fuck you didn't just bring a fucking...
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember when Indiana Jones...
I don't know why you didn't just bring a crack pipe and a fucking line of crystal meth, because it would have fit in better than this.
Now, Bob, I did see one of the stories, or maybe Timmy's story, back in the day, in the not-too-distant past, before things blew up for you... Were you crashing here? Were you, because Tim? I thought I saw something where Tim said you showed up. You had a suitcase, not much else. Mm-hmm. Down on your luck. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you go from this to now? Like what happens if we're still there? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But where was the genesis of what you were doing on Instagram? Because that's
my whole shit started very plain and simple, and I explained it very quickly as possible. There's a 12-minute. Little fucking thing that Travis Matthew did on me about my life story. If you ever want to learn about how I created my little sports fake broadcasting thing, there's a thing on there that's the best way to explain it. Long story short, because, like, you know, when I tell the story, I like to tell it in the right way, in the long, you know, version. I was sitting on a couch. I fucking did my broadcaster voice. I always use my broadcaster voice. I have a very good voice. I could be able to say things that sounded like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, tonight on ESPN, you know, on the right side is Timmy bounce back. On the far left, Julian Edelman, excuse me. Here's a snap, bounce back, takes the zinc, hands it off to Edelman, round the right side. And, it, you know, I just used to do that. And so I used to do is, like, I had no craft, I had no whatever. I used to go up to fucking random people in fucking Hollywood like a crackhead.
Well, but hold on. Didn't you used to do it as a caddy? You used to crush people.
No, I was too scared.
Okay.
I never did it in a professional thing. But when after I was a couple drinks in after my round, I used to go out in Hollywood Boulevard and go up to every, like, I couldn't go out in person with my buddies because I would leave them. I would go to a group, a table, and I'd walk right up to them and I would put the voice on. And I would just do, like, no preparation, no anything. I'd be like, and four receivers set right side. And Rodgers in the shotgun. It is ESPN Super Bowl Sunday. Bob Mennery here tonight alongside of me. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the people, and I would just test.
We got Danny Dunn and Wildcat.
Majority of the time, everybody took out their phone and recorded it. And that's why I don't know to this day why there's not more, like, shit of me cracked out on Hollywood Boulevard doing that voice. But that was my thing, and then took it to the internet. Voiced over these fucking NFL and NCAA clips and just been doing that ever since to kind of sustain the numbers, but it's getting a little dry, so we got to figure out some shit.
You talk about pivoting, but you really kind of have. Like, I think the reason I follow now, while I find it refreshing, and you'll put up some of the older videos, which I think are, you know, recently you posted the one with the kid and the spelling bee, I just lose it with that nerdy kid that's like, I know this.
Little John,
one of the funniest things of all time. And then the other one where the kid passes out. But really why I follow you now is you've established a connection with your fans to the point where you'll see them out and people are screaming your name. And even in golf tournaments, people are yelling Ripper Magoos and all this stuff. So I think you have successfully pivoted
I had a good point, like, you know, a couple of years ago, and then I hit a downfall. And then kind of with the new collaboration I did with the Nelk Boys and the Full Send podcast, it's brought me back up again, which is a cool little fucking thing. But at the end of the day, you know, like, my shit is very, like, you know, I do the same thing every time. It takes me 30 seconds to do. I put it out there. It hits the same numbers. I enjoy doing it. At the same time, there's got to be a way to pivot it into other shit. What I was very good at is this, right? I was like, okay, I can reach fucking, I have 9 million fucking people following me, right? Like, whatever. I'm like, but who are the important people to know? I was very good at networking. I was very good at putting other people first. I was very good at being like, hey, Nelk Boys, UFC, Dana White, this is a partnership that makes sense. You guys should meet each other. I didn't care about myself. I didn't care about my take. I didn't care about anything. Because I think that, like, at the end of the day, regardless of fucking whatever anybody says, is this. You always should give as much as you can. That's it. You want to just give as much as you can until it comes to a point where, like, you're offering so much value that it's like, okay, I need to see a return. But at the end of the day, don't worry about that. Give, make it about other people, be a connector, be a middleman, be a bridger. And at the end of the day, good people and respectful people will be like, hey, I owe that motherfucker a favor. And I did that with so many people, and that's why I have some pretty good relationships. Along the way, you have some bad ones too.
Well, it seems like you probably get that. I mean, just from what I've seen on your Instagram with your family, it seems like you got a very close relationship with your parents. Your dad is a singer. He gets up and he sings, and your parents... Is that where that comes from? You're from Boston, right?
I have no idea.
Is it coming? I'm a Philly guy, and Timmy's a Philly guy. I think I feel that way in my own life too. Like, where it's like, why are you doing that? Well,
my whole entire shit has been an absolute blur. When people say, "Hey, like, I have no fucking idea what's happened. I have no idea." I mean, 5 years ago, thinking about sleeping on Sherman Oaks in the back of a car in a fucking Jeep Cherokee. No exaggeration. Like, literally slept in a car for 3 months with a blanket and a fucking thing, right?
And left your suitcase right there.
And left my suitcase right there, which for some reason is still right there. But like, no, like then you go from like that, a guy who didn't know anybody, no followers, like zero across anybody who fucked with you, you know, down and out, blah, blah, to playing golf with Steph Curry, playing golf with Phil Mickelson, field goal, representing a fucking NFL athlete, connecting Dana White with fucking these mayas. Like, you know, I have no idea. I don't, like, retain it.
When you're in the car, I my first thought is, like, how do you keep from offing yourself?
When I was caddying?
No, you said you're sleeping in your car.
Yeah, I never thought, like, about killing myself ever.
Did you never feel sorry for yourself?
I just understood what my bad habits were and realized why it led me to the point where I was at.
And your family rebooted you back to the roots.
But my family's unaware of that time.
But you went
not
back
anymore.
And recharge.
Yeah, but it was a quick recharge, bro.
That's all you needed.
It was like literally an instantaneous recharge. Like, I was found in that back of the car by Ernie, hallucinating, running through a CVS on crystal meth and setting off alarms, thinking people were chasing me. Ernie picks me up, brings me to the fucking airport, get on a plane.
I love Ernie.
Land. My brother takes me for a job at a fucking liquor store, $11 an hour, go apply, hand in my thing, go to a party that night, be an extra in a thing at 2 a.m., do a voice on a couch that I've done for fucking 10 years, and then got picked up by Bro Bible.
Yeah, but don't you think maybe that you quote unquote, hit rock bottom, said I need help, you go home, your brother takes care of you. I know your mom and dad loved you. Your sister loved you. Everyone loves you.
Yeah, but I never asked for help.
I know, but you just said, hey, Ernie helped you out. And then all of a sudden,
it was literally like life or death. I was sleeping in a car with a flat tire, couldn't move. And Ernie called my brother and sister, were like, you have to get this fucking guy home, dude. So I was zinked. Dude, and then also...
Welcome to Zap Studios.
This is the other crazy thing. I'll say one more thing. This is the other crazy thing.
Thank God we have whiskey, because I'm getting depressed right now. No, I'm kidding.
I'm smoking a cigar with this whiskey.
Well, I mean, it's not depressed right now. Because it's
amazing.
It just shows that anything you're going through, you can figure it out.
It's a great story.
But at the end of the day, I was literally flat tire, passed out, blanket over my head, goner. 28 years old, no chance of success, caddy in a country club with a drug problem, written off. 0% chance of success. Zero.
Was the drug thing something that had been a long time, or is it something you picked up when you were out in L.A.?
I'd always used blow and all like different shit in L.A. between 21 to probably whatever.
Very time. Hungry nostrils. Very hungry.
No, I
mean, it was... Yes.
I mean, dude, like, no, it wasn't that at all. I mean, 7:15 tee time comes along, I'd rip a snagger, and then I'd go 8:15, he's on the third hole, I'd rip another snagger, and then 9:15 comes around, rip another one. Yeah, not that bad.
This brings a new perspective, by the way, to one of my other favorite Bob Menery videos, which is the one where the guy's running in the
Flash.
Outfield. Now I understand that came from experience then.
1,000%.
Making these vows to yourself that you're going to do better, and then the demons catch up to you.
No idea. I mean, dude, I suffer with the same things I did today as I do fucking 5 years ago.
Yeah. All right, so, Danny, you would agree with me on this one. The one component that you have, and I've met a lot of people too.
I'm a charmable boy.
It's infectious charm, disarming, yeah. Almost. It's impossible for me to remain mad at you. Impossible.
Right.
In about 3 minutes, you'll say something that will make me laugh, and I'm like, you know what? My life, and I'm a grudge holder. I'm from Philadelphia. I hold grudges to the grave.
Yeah.
And he and I have had our disputes and disagreements and stuff.
But nothing we've ever done would ever lead us to hold a grudge.
Well, the thing is, I consider you my little baby brother, and then you come over and you start zinging and zapping me, and then all of a sudden I'm enchanted like a Disney character.
Yeah. I'm very good with people. I think that.
Well, I think that's where, again, you said it. There's only so much you can do with these clips, right? The novelty wears off. People watch them. Why your following keeps growing and why is because people are charmed by you. That's why podcasts work. That's why, because it's not about, I know this. I've got tons of huge guests on my show. Mm-hmm. You kind of go, but that's not why people listen to podcasts. They listen to podcasts because they want to connect with you.
Yeah.
And I think between your video content and what you're doing with the podcast, that's where it's coming from. And the fact that you've owned it and have channeled that, yeah. Have taken that fucking super dark place. Yeah, I know we make fun of it, but like,
but at the
that's
same
a dark
time,
place.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's still a lot of room for like, I hate when people say like, and praise me for shit, like whatever. I've had moments that was great. Like right now where I'm at right now is like at a point where like we got to bounce back. You know, we're like, we just launched on to do the Full Send podcast, which is fucking huge. It's one of the biggest fucking podcasts on YouTube right now, whatnot. That was a good move. But like before that, I was kind of just, you know, it's very plain and simple. Like I enjoy, and I always have, just making people laugh. But I've felt that I've lost it as of late, which is kind of crazy. Like, you know, the past like year of my life, I've completely, like, it's nuts to be like going from, truffully, and you know how it is, Timmy.
We talk about, yeah.
Like going from sleeping in a fucking car, like not trying to make a fucking sob story, but like literally, like I was sleeping in a fucking car at 20 years old, no chance. And to go in now, like everywhere I fucking go, somebody's gonna come up and have a conversation with me, and it's like it's crazy, you know.
You signed up for it though, but
when you talk about maybe losing the humor a bit, isn't that sort of a familiar thing that happens to a lot of people? Because the thing that made you funny was probably all that angst and wondering like where the fucking next meal's coming from and how you're gonna, and now you're having all this success. Do you lose your edge a little bit? I mean, I'm not saying that
first,
you have.
Yeah,
but
first of all, I'm not having all the success. Like, I'm just like, shit's going good, but it's not like crazy success story. It's like, still got to do a lot of fucking shit.
Stuff. And you haven't eaten a meal since 1999.
Listen, I was very open. Actually, our podcast is launched. We had Usman on from the UFC. We had Usman on yesterday.
Of one crouton.
One crouton.
A shot of honey.
You're going to hear that one.
And
but at the end of the day, I forget your point. What were you saying? You were saying something.
I was going to say, let's have some more whiskey. There we go. Court, what do you guys say? Let me get your, let's pivot here again. Right. What's your take on this whiskey, Timmy? Bob, what do you guys think? The Whistle Pig 8, Boss Hog.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm having a Cuban cigar with it. It's amazing. It's my Thanksgiving. This is like, I'm with two old friends right now, and it's worlds collide during a holiday weekend. That's what's so wild. So maybe the whiskey is the component that brought us together.
It is a...
And the depression, Den.
I can't ever tell the difference between anything. If you lined up the best whiskey in the world, the shittiest whiskey in the world, I can't...
You can't tell the difference between this and, say, like a...
I mean, I don't drink
Tennessee
whiskey
Williams.
Well, I mean, what do you like? What do you like to drink normally if you're out having a?
What's the situation?
You're out at a bar. You want to have a fun night out.
Okay. Who am I? Wait, what day of the week is it?
It's a Friday night.
Friday night.
There's a bunch of ladies out, people, the place is
jamming. Do I have a girlfriend or do I not have a girlfriend?
You do not have a girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just signed the biggest deal of your life. And the Patriots just won. The Celtics won. The Bruins just won.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what.
You're having the best night of your life.
I would call up the Zinc Man who would deliver. No, I honestly always, I never get to the point of like, you get fucking nuts. By the way, Timmy gets fucking ape shit crazy drunk.
They call me Drunk Chewbacca.
I never get like that
but
at
just
all.
Just taste this.
I've never seen that.
Yes, you have. You've been a part of it.
Yeah. You ever hear the Ryan Lochte story?
Just take a sip of it. How
I'd
smooth
like to.
This is. This is like Willy Wonka whiskey. You yeah, can't, I got it. This is the best.
I think, Bob, we do got to turn you on to the finer things here in terms of the spirits, just because there's going to come a time when you're entertaining.
Yeah.
You got some people over the crib.
Yeah, you know what I do?
What's that?
I mean, it's Bud Lights. That's it.
Bullshit.
Really?
That is bullshit.
I don't fucking entertain though.
First time you got dough, I saw you drink Long Island iced teas. You did.
But I'm saying, like, bro, you know me. I'll never fucking pop a bottle or a table. Like, if I'm at a club, okay? If I'm at a club, my biggest thing is this. I fucking hate motherfuckers that have the signs and the pump and the shit. If you get me at a club, I'm going to grab the waitress and I'm going to say, hey, bring me over a little bottle of fucking Grey Banger. And fucking pass it under the table, no lights, like it's zero dark 30, Osama bin Laden's being raided.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Well, wait, I mean, like, I don't like the lights and everything. I don't like the shit. Like, I think bottle service is the biggest waste of money.
That's okay.
Well, yeah, I left that in the rearview mirror alone. How old are you, Bob?
You're 34 years old.
34.
Yeah, so you're starting to mature. You and I are the same age.
I'm older than both of you, I think.
Well,
probably.
We can just keep that.
Yeah, I'm in my
34 years old.
Yep. So, okay, anyway. You, like,
moving forward,
the idea of going to a club.
Yeah,
with bottle service right now, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Nothing.
Like, I just nothing. Where I was in New York City last week, and I love that town.
Right.
It's just an amazing place. But what I love about it, I love going to bars, man. I love just going.
Why do you love going to bars? Is she a girl? Why do you love going to bars?
I think a lot of it just connects with where I came from.
And
I grew up in a
very.
I grew up.
Communicate.
You can. Oh yeah, you can talk.
And me and you looking at the three of us. Don't have the figure to be able to be in a fucking packed club, bumping our fucking heads, popping bottles, and a girl, you know, like I have no play at a club. I win girls over by my personality.
With your voice.
How do you do it, Tim? Because.
They fall in my lap.
You ever see Joplin fucking Missouri, that F5 that came through?
Wow.
That was his twin sister.
Listen, my girlfriend just broke up with me for 7 years. I didn't have to do it. You know, you guys left. I had all my sex before 11 a.m. so I could get like Lucifer drunk. So when I'm out at the
bars. Time out. Please stop this and get me that clip. Please repeat what you just said. No, repeat what you just said.
I'll tell you what I said.
I get all my sex in before 11 a.m. so I can get Lucifer drunk.
Yes.
Is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Friends, with Fresh Victor, making delicious craft cocktails has never been easier. This holiday season, try their line of award-winning delicious cocktail mixers with any spirit or sparkling wine, and you're good to go. Enjoy your guests without the stress of having to play master mixologist. At Fresh Victor, they source only the finest and freshest ingredients, including cold-pressed juices, to create healthier, clean-label cocktail mixers. And Fresh Victor just came out with a winter cocktail recipe book you can flip through online or download and print. Just go to their Instagram, at Fresh Victor Cocktails, and click on the link in the bio to find that book. And that's not all. Act now to get 20% off Fresh Victor mixers. Simply go to freshvictor.com, fill up your shopping cart, and at checkout, enter promo code WWD20 to get 20% off your order. The holidays are here. It's time to treat you and yours with the very best mixers on the market. And that's Fresh Victor.
But you've been a part of, you understand that's the thing. I loved that girl, and it worked out perfectly until it didn't, you know? But then it's too tough for me to communicate anymore. I am drunk Chewbacca.
Listen, let me ask something.
Shrek?
Did you ever cheat on a girl?
I have.
When was the last time you were dating a girl that you cheated on?
It's every one of them.
Every one of them, right? Yeah, because here's the deal. Because it's kind of unsteady, right?
Well, it just falls in my lap.
Right.
I feel like I have to do it for mankind.
Right.
Like there's a very pretty young girl.
No,
think about this. Not a lot of people have my position.
What is your position?
Someone says, I would like to have intimacies with you. And I'm like,
right now, present day?
Yeah.
I got to take it. You don't have the shit to deal with.
It's, mind you, it's no good. My facilities, everything, faculties, it's all off, especially at 7 p.m. But if it falls in my lap, you have to do it for men. You just have
to. Your problem is, Tim, is you're not.
Am I right or wrong?
You're saying you can't maintain a monogamous relationship.
No, I can.
He's a mess with relationships, and so am I. But at the end of the day, I think that you are not confident enough. I think you have pizzazz. You can do your shit. You're just not confident enough. You kind of just get zinked and fucking whatever. You could close some shit. Problem is, when you get to a point where it's like you have fucking all these people, you don't know what their intentions are, it's tough. You never know. The trust thing is hard.
I also mirror. If my chick cheats on me, then I'm going to cheat on her.
100%.
Well, that sounds very evolved.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing. I really do that.
Like, yes and no, though. But then it's like, okay, then your chick cheats on you, and you're going to cheat on
so
her.
What's
and then
the point
back
of being
and
in
forth,
a relationship?
What's the point?
Well, then I hope you get old enough to you'll just stop it.
You don't want to just limit this pad to one chick anyway, right? You want to expose
the depression.
You want to expose as many
bodies.
Women as possible.
I think with Tim.
Oh my God, Danny.
I think with Tim though. Tim, you have somebody out there that is good for you, but you obviously just love to zap and get wild, so it's going to just really hurt you.
Correct.
So you're going to have to hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find the perfect girl who's willing to tolerate that at the same time, you know. Yeah, it's going to be tough. And at
it's
the same time
tough.
For me too, I'm the same way. It's like, you know, we both have addictive personalities, we like to get wild, you know, and at the same time.
All right, ready? I'll give you. And you're part of this too. Now, I'm not trying to drag you down because you're.
I've had a few ladies in my day.
You're in a good relationship.
You single?
Well, listen, I can say this confidently right now.
No. I'm in a new thing.
You're a new thing.
It's great. I'm very happy.
You're seeing a girl with new potential.
That's a good
I'm
thing.
Seeing someone
at
who
our
I think
age,
is
that's
fantastic.
That's a good thing. Where yes. I love hearing this.
So
but
much.
you and me are good time Charlies. When we walk into a bar, we don't even have to try because we're pretty content and happy guys. We're already on the radar. We're already on the radar of the chicks. Good time, Charlie. Good time, Charlie.
No, not true.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
No.
Then when they lock you up and they go, oh, man, I'm with Good Time, Charlie. Then all of a sudden they want fucking Sensitive Sam. And it's like, wait a second, though. You saw what I bring to the table. I'm a Good Time, Charlie guy. Now all of a sudden you want me to be Sensitive Sam. Okay.
Well, because they run a background check.
I communicate with you. I'll be Sensitive Sam. But then Sensitive Sam's not our wheelhouse. We're Good Time Charlies. We're out.
I think what you're saying is a lot of what can attract women, and Bob, I'm sure you get this too, is they're attracted to the persona. You're out, like, oh my God, this Bob, man, you know, and they love it, right? No, it's, I get that too. And it's like, you know, I mean, I worked for Hunter S. Thompson. I've written a bunch of books. Yeah. I got movies. And they're like, oh, and they love it. But
how to sustain?
They always think to themselves,
what else?
This is going to stop, and I'm going to tame this person, and they're not going to be the person. The thing that attracted them to you, then they're like, all right, I've had enough of that. I don't want you to be that big personality. And you're like, well, this is who I am.
It's 100%.
This is who I am. Like, what do you want me to do?
I'm Popeye. I am who I am.
What I try and say in any relationship or any friendship now, like at the end of the day, hey, look, I'm 34, right? You guys are all older as well, blah, blah. I think we've learned. We've went through our 20s. Yeah, we cheated. Yeah, we've misled, whatever. What I'm trying to do day by day right now is be the most truthful, loyal fucking dude I can be. And what I say to my girl is this, simple as this. It's like, just be upfront and honest. I said, if you're going to go and do something, just as hard as it is, spare me the time because I don't have time.
So you can process the truth. If she gives you the truth, you can process
it. Just tell me it. I do not want to find from a third party out anything.
Me neither.
That's it. If I find out for the third party, then it's fucking fireworks and fucking craziness.
Yeah.
Don't want that. But
I agree with all
But it's hard to do for her. It's hard hypothetically.
Wait, for me or you? Are you calling
it's,
me her?
No, I'm saying it's hard, hard to do hypothetically for the girl if you go to her and say, I need brutal honesty. And you say, hey, how hard is it to look a girl in the eye that you've cheated on and said, hey, I've cheated on you? It's impossible.
Have you done that, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Cop to cheating.
One of the
admitted
greatest,
to it.
One of the greatest lines of a big director told me: as a man, when you hit 30, what's the point of lying? You're a fucking man.
100%.
So when you ask me directly, I tell you the truth. Now, I've learned this, though, because I've been in therapy. This is wild. Do not judge me. There's something called a therapeutic lie, where the person that you are dealing with is debilitated in some way.
But a therapeutic lie can't be.
Which I still try not to do that.
Yeah, but a therapeutic lie can't be something completely like, hey, here's the deal. I am Bob. I have a girlfriend. I go and fuck this girl. Okay? It's hard to do. The right thing to do is to go to your girlfriend and spare her the time and tell her. 2% of the people can do that.
Well, I would never go and out myself, but face to face, when they say, did you do X, Y, and Z? The answer is yes.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bob. Why is that? Because I've thought that before, and you feel that shame, and you're like, I tell this woman I love her.
Because we realize that there's going to be more consequences, I think, involved if we
you don't want to hurt her. That's the truth.
No, not even hurt her. It's like, but again, the tables are turned. But at the same time, I think it's just more like, I don't know. I mean, I think at anything in the world, on anything you do or whatnot, is I pride myself, regardless of whatever my reputation is or whoever the fuck can say whatever the fuck they want, is at the end of the day, I believe myself to be an honest, fucking loyal dude in any business relationship and don't smile, Timmy.
Huh?
Because at the end of the day, I'm looking in the mirror. We can do the podcast numbers again and run it back.
There's no reflection when I look in the mirror.
To be an honest, loyal guy and up front. Now,
God, you're Dracula.
When did I learn that? Probably like 32, 30, whatever. So can I blame the girl who's 26 that does that to me? No.
Well, you got a lot really fast.
Bob, let me ask you this.
I don't blame you either.
You're in a relationship. And this is a question that gets posed to guys a lot, because it's assumed that guys are the ones doing this, where you're in a happy relationship, you go abroad on a trip, and you meet somebody, you're never going to see them again. We've all done this. And you go, it's okay, because I'm never going to see them again. And
dead wrong.
If your woman did the same thing to you, and she regretted it and was never going to see this guy again, it was a big mistake, would you want to know about it?
No.
So she went to Mexico, hypothetically.
I don't want to know.
She went on a bachelor party.
She went on a bachelor party. She fucked somebody. She
got drunk.
I always want to be aware of all information.
Yeah, that's where we're different. That's crazy.
I don't think I'd want to know.
I don't either.
Because I absolutely want to know everything that's on the table. Why? Otherwise, it's like, that way I can, you know, readjust my game plan. You know, at the end of the day, is if somebody like, I'm very forgiving. First, second, third chance. I had fucking 20 chances, fucking whatever. It doesn't matter. Not saying blah, blah. But I believe that, and this is maybe my downfall, is I believe I can help flip the switch with some chicks. But I don't know if that's the case. So
how much, since this is a drinking show, how much forgiveness do we allow for alcohol? Bad decisions that are made when drinking.
Open door for me. I'm the worst drunk ever. I've become the worst drunk.
Meaning she fucked somebody, she's drinking.
She said, I went to this thing, I was drunk.
Did she tell me up front?
I made out with, not even fuck somebody. I got drunk and I made out with a guy. I completely regret it. I was drunk. And
made
was,
out?
Just made out.
She tells me like within like a fucking week span of when
the
it
next
happened.
Day she just says, hey, I fucked up.
I say, here's the deal. Mistakes happen. Let's not do it again.
Okay, can we talk about this too? Let's talk about it. Got one spin around the sun. If I find a woman that I'm happy with in every component, intimacy, just spending time with her, we like the same TV, music, same food. If we're both doing the best as human beings, for the most part, I'm pretty forgiving because I'm just happy to have someone that I connect
hardest
with that
part,
much.
Though, is, hardest part of Tim is, though, is this, Timmy. Hardest part, though, is once they betray the trust,
it's over.
It's over.
I can't get it out of my head.
You're always like, interrogators. We all turn into interrogators. I know.
It's the interrogators is what it is. And like at the end of the day, and it's not a bad thing to be the interrogator, because I'm like this. Like everybody will be like this. Oh, like you're going to interrogate this girl, like blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, here's the deal. I don't have time to waste. Like at the end of the day, we make a pact, okay? We make a pact. And it's different for every single situation, right? I make a pact with you. I am with you. We're dedicated to each other, right? You betray that pact. It's like anything else in business.
It's tough.
The right thing to do is to step up to the plate, swallow your fucking pride, and admit what you did wrong right away. And that's that. Otherwise, what the fuck else is there? Yeah. I mean, you're just, because then if I love somebody, right? If I love this girl and I fucked some other fucking girl, right? And I hit it for her forever, it would haunt me, right? Like I just couldn't. It wouldn't.
Yeah, the guilt kills us.
The guilt. Well, and I think, but I'm not. Yeah,
that wisdom comes as you get older. Because I certainly found it a lot easier when I was younger to justify my bad behavior. And then the older I got, I started asking myself, how can I tell this person I love her and mean it? You know, and I think I mean.
But
you know,
everybody's situation is different.
That's
the thing. Every single human being, you cannot speak for the general fucking public because you can't process what other humans think or whatnot. Everybody's situation is different. You may meet a girl with the that you fall in love with. She may fall. There's so many different variables. Like it's up to you. And what I've learned is this. Yes, I've lied. Yes, I've cheated. Yes, I've done that stuff. But at the end of the day, like you said, when you grow older, you learn that being honest and being honest and truthful is the best thing you can possibly do.
Okay.
And it's so hard to do, and 0.05% of the population can actually do it.
I agree.
But then it may be like sometimes, like you said, like nuclear warfare. If you do, like you said, what did you say, that white lie thing?
Therapeutic lie.
Therapeutic
So what would constitute...
It's not me. I went to a doctor. I mean, I went to like 20 doctors.
If a doctor says it, it's real.
Well, I don't know. At this point, I'm passing it off.
What I love about this episode so far is this is actually the first time in the history of the show that genuinely feels like a conversation dudes are just having. You called it earlier, Bob, sitting around...
Yeah,
the depression den, having some drinks and cigars.
Wait
and
a second,
about
do you know how many? Do you know how many minutes?
Dude, it's a depression. This is actually
like
a depression
this.
Den Listen, the best, episode.
The best conversations, the best podcast shows, are this. Exactly what it is. I slept 35 minutes last night. I was
and since 1999.
What did you do? You only got 35 minutes sleep.
I thought you could guess.
Oh, okay.
No,
I got you.
No, I'm kidding. He's doing push-ups. Were you on the treadmill?
I took the Ferris wheel, and then I went to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, fucking part two. And then whatever. No, I
babysat my dog.
I look at it is what it is. Like I slept. I'm always just real. I don't give a fuck.
How much do you normally? Because I was curious about that.
Totally varies.
I've never seen anybody. You're constantly on airplanes. Mm-hmm. You're constantly moving about. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm headed here tonight. I'm going to the Celtics mm-hmm. game from New York, and now I'm going down to Florida, and now I'm going to watch my racing team in Arizona. I'm going here. Do you ever feel burned out? Or
I think I'm starting to get to a point now that I'm getting burned out. I think I'm starting to get a little burned out, but I know that like my mental shit can figure that out and I'll get back in the game and whatnot. But I'm getting a little burned out now. But at the end of the day, I got good momentum going on right now. We got this biggest show going on right now on YouTube with our shit.
And that's the Full Send
podcast.
Yeah,
it's
had some
awesome.
Amazing get. Mike Tyson was a huge get on that. We can't talk about the next guest, but watch out for that one.
Yeah.
Who else about it? You've had
we had Shaquille O'Neal, Dennis Rodman,
right.
We had Trump,
Diesel.
And the guy who killed Bin Laden.
His reach is unbelievable.
We had fucking Dana White. We had fucking Jake Paul. We had but this is the thing with our podcast. We go no matter what to the guests.
Yeah.
So we'll pick up the phone and say like, I'll call somebody. I'll be like, hey, Shaq, where are you at? I'm in Vegas.
We're
coming right now. I'll just be like, we're coming fucking right now.
See, this is why you're doing better than me, because I had a hard time mustering the energy.
Hold, please.
To come from Venice to West Hollywood. I was like, Jesus, can't you guys come over to my house?
Yeah, but the problem is you don't
I got a lot of booze here. Come
yeah,
on
but, but the potential of having...
Well, you stepped up the game, and I think we got a good episode.
I haven't moved this quickly in years.
I got very away with being able to do such a short content shtick that
this.
Hits so many fucking people. That was it, like for you, right? Like it's like anything else, right? In a podcast or guests or whatever, you got to offer value, right?
Sure.
At the end of the day, you get great guests, you get whatever. What's your reach? What's your listeners? What's your subscribers? Blah, blah, all that shit. But at the end of the day, I had a fucking product that I did where there was not a lot of people doing it. I talked in a broadcaster voice. I did an R-rated shtick, made a lot of athletes fucking laugh, made a lot of fucking people that were important fucking laugh. And then when I saw them laugh, I jumped on them right away and I engaged, and I fucking hit up Baker Mayfield and didn't give up until I could talk.
Shaq loved you, dude.
Dana and I mean, I have to, you know me, like I like at the end of the day, what I do pride myself in, where I will give myself a little pat on the back, is I fucking have a very big Rolodex of motherfuckers that will fuck with me because I'm a straight up fucking dude.
Well, here's the thing: I don't know you, Bob. I've known Tim a long time, but just from the short time I got, you seem like a genuine guy, and all the people that I know that Tim hangs out with are genuine guys, and
like
people grok that shit, man. They pick it up, and they, you know, and I think they are attracted to that. I think people want to be around, especially in this day and age when you you don't know what anybody wants anymore. You know, half the time, and it's like
the hardest part is trust. It's a hard. How can you trust people?
Hold on, I got a question for both of you guys. This is a big deal, and I think we've both lived, all three of us, long enough that we've been in both positions. I know for a fact that I've been in positions in relationships again, because I want a question from you guys, where the girl loved me more than I did her.
We're back here.
And I had to let her go.
Okay.
But I've also been in positions where the girl found another dude and clearly loved him more than me. Right. And they were successful.
So what's your point?
My point is, if the chick does cheat and meet a guy and she's happy, if we've ever really loved her, have to let her go.
No.
See,
let her go? Of course, let her go.
Yeah, let her go.
You're not going to fucking help.
What is this room?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Listen, I will say this.
Coming next week, Hostel Part 2.
along with what you're saying, this is an issue that I've had, and I've talked about this in therapy, is I'll end the relationship, right, for reasons that are valid to me to end the relationship. But as soon as I find out that they've moved on, then I suddenly go, oh, wait.
What about me?
Wait, what about me?
Yeah, what and to the do point you have, where, do you like, have a conversation with them?
So my ex. You've met Timmy's met her.
Whatever it is.
And I broke up with her. She was devastated. She finally met, not too long after, met somebody else. And as soon as I found out that she had met this other guy, suddenly I was like, oh, wait, I need to. It's purely ego. It's purely ego. It's me going.
I think it's just you follow. I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about, by the way. First of all, I want to preface that.
No, we'll start with that.
No fucking idea.
It's what a I'm theme saying.
I think Danny's
show,
right. It comes down to ego at the end.
It's ego.
You got to let him go if you really love him.
You got to let them go if you really love them, but if they're very, very good at what they do and they're very deceptive and they send mixed signals, it's very hard to do.
Okay,
that.
Get on the mic. Say that again. Because
I like the mixed signals.
My face never moves, Tim.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, do we want to be with someone that's
you don't,
mixed
but
signals?
Here's the deal, you don't know.
Because well, here's real simple. Tim, do you want to get married? Do you see yourself with a one person long-term partner eventually?
I do not want kids. That's a absolute. And I don't want to get married. I don't want to do anything I can't undo. But a monogamous relationship and a companion, absolutely, I'll lock it down. In fact, I'm trying to buy a house because I tried to live here with one woman. It might have worked.
Yeah, this place is not going to do it.
For reasons you can see now, Daniel.
You got to get on the brothers, the two twins, and get them to come in here and fucking fix this shit.
They'll just set it on fire.
No, I think that it's just important to be able to have a conversation early and establish what the ground rules are.
But like, you're not even against marriage and kids.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, this kids thing, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I mean, whatever. I'm just going to, like,
it's not a no.
It's not a priority. It's not a priority.
How big is your family, Bob?
Pretty big.
How many siblings?
My mother has six brothers and sisters. My father has three. So a big family.
And how many siblings do you have?
Brother and a sister with five kids total.
And they're all super close.
And Timmy, how many, what do you got?
I'm seven of eight kids, parents together, 15.
But here's the deal. Me and Timmy are both also very crazy fucking wild men. So you have to understand, when you're dating somebody like us, it's got to be fucking near impossible. You watch that fucking thing right there.
I'm getting a picture.
I love
it. The mirror, I got this whole fucking... That's a weird heart. The fresh and dead picture's the best. Hold on. Bobby, come up a little closer. It's the best picture of all time. Oh, it's a Zapkin Nation.
I love it.
Bobby, look at this.
I love it.
Oh my God, it's a clown house. The Depression Den is a clown house.
I fucking love it.
It's going right to YouTube.
I love it. So Bob, you were saying before Tim.
No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, this. If we can talk about fucking relationships for hours, it'd be boring, whatever the fuck it is. It's simple as this. It's like, dude, every fucking situation is different. Go with your fucking gut. And at the end of the day, though, it's just, it comes to the point where if somebody fucks you over, history repeats itself. So you got to be...
Yeah, you got to get used to
it. But I don't want to harp on fucking relationships for 9 hours.
This episode is brought to you by Batiste Rum, a true original. The only American aged rum made from single origin 100% fresh cane juice. They make it in a way that generates zero durable waste and is carbon negative from ground glass. First rum in the world to do it this way. And with the holidays upon us, I am all about Batiste Rum Reserve. It's exceptionally clean tasting, rich and flavorful. It's a must-have for any serious spirits enthusiast and makes for a fantastic gift for anyone who loves discovering great new hooch. And right now, through the holidays, Batiste is offering my listeners 20% off their Reserve rum. To get this deal, go to batisterum.com. That's batisterhum.com. Order and enter code Reserve at checkout for 20% off Batiste Reserve rum. Stay warm and sustainable this holiday season. Put on your favorite holiday album, pour a finger or two or three of Batiste Rum Reserve, and bring on the jolly.
Well, yeah, this is a boatload of fun. You got to love this stuff. It reminds me of my New Year's resolutions, right? It's like the day after New Year's, and I'm like, all right, no drinking, no drugs, no porn. And it's like 6 hours in, and everything is going great. And then all of a sudden, here comes my fucking buddy, cocaine. And he just comes in and fucks my life up, and all my resolutions go out the window, Peter. Look at this. I'm doing great. 6 hours in, New Year's resolutions going great, and then, ow! Why did we invite the blow guy to the party? He fucking ruined all of our resolutions.
Let's switch gears here. We can't not talk about this. Us, Tim and I, being from Philly, you being from Boston, both of our teams, NFL teams this year, I think are starting to sort of transcend expectations. So the Eagles start to come around. What the fuck?
They're 4-6, aren't they?
Yeah, but we're five and six.
We won three in a row.
And
Jalen Hurts putting up numbers.
And obviously the Pats with Mac Jones doing very well. Who do you got? Who's your teams now? Who's going forward in the NFL?
My team right now is it who I want to win the Super Bowl?
Who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl?
I think that Kansas City Chiefs are playing well enough that they could peak in the second half of the season to make a run. Their defense is obviously suspect, but they played well lately. I think Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, is going to be there.
I don't hate either of those picks.
I'm more confident with, obviously, Bucks than I am the Chiefs, because the Chiefs' defense is just brutal and horrific. But the Patriots, here's the deal. The Pats are, 7-4, right?
They have a great defense.
Well, we knew that.
Kid is not making mistakes like Jones. He's not hurting them. I mean, obviously, you got Belichick, knows how to game plan. He looks, by far, I think, the cream of the crop so far of all these vaunted rookie quarterbacks that came out.
Alabama guy, too.
I would never rule out the Pats making a deep playoff run.
Yeah, but we talked about this. He drafted the deep. That defense is nasty.
Yeah. J.C. Jackson, that corner is so underrated. J.C. Jackson.
It's run the ball, and just manage third down, Mac. All you have to do is manage a third down.
And if you think about it, time out. What's the Pats record?
7-4.
Yeah.
They lost the Miami Dolphins. What week? Week one. How did they lose to them? They took too many zinks, and they fumbled on the fucking 8-yard line where they could have kicked the fucking field goal and won it. That's fucking 8-3. They lost the Dallas Cowboys by a last-minute overtime fucking game.
Same reason. That's right.
Too many zinks. Right? Yeah. Tampa Bay fucking Buccaneers. Tom Brady game. They literally, the Pats have put themselves in every single fucking game, and that kid's a fucking gamer, bro. He's the best.
Now we make the Eagles case. They sucked early on, but everybody wanted to run this coach Sirianni out of town, including me, but he has adjusted really well, and now the Eagles are the number one rushing team in the NFC.
But how far can rushing get?
But I'm saying they took the pressure off of Hurts, and I think Hurts is, dare I say, possibly the guy. Possibly.
The guy for this year?
I think he is the guy. I think he's going to be Lamar Jackson.
Exactly right. That's the mold that they're...
Just run him.
He could be the guy. I think, you know.
He's a leader. He is a leader.
Lamar is on a different level than fucking...
Do you remember when Tua won the...
Here's the problem, Tim. You and I are coming at it from a different place because Bob has known... His hometown has known too much success, which makes me crazy. Don't get me wrong. I love my Boston brethren, but... When they go, and they complain and shit, I'm like, hey, fuck you. How many championships do you have to win?
And the Celtics and Bruins. They were the shittiest fucking town ever, and they did the best sports town.
I had nothing to do with the success of Boston sports. had nothing to do with the success of Boston sports, but I will tell you this.
But we did win 2008 World Series.
That's true.
2007 Super Bowl.
Nick Foles fucked us in that fucking game.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Flyers are always there, and the Sixers potentially.
I like your optimism. It's completely unfounded, but I like it. Yeah.
You think of Tom Brady, though, like what Brady's doing at this age. It's so repetitive. We say the same thing every time. It's absolutely fucking nuts. And Giants game, David Tyree, like he should have fucking, what, 9 Super Bowls?
The fact that he was in 10.
Well, I can tell you this, Bob. Every one of us, and Tim was watching the Super Bowl with me at the garage. When they threw that ball up at the end, there was absolutely no doubt, I think, in everybody's mind in that room, Eagles fans, that it was either going to be Gronk was going to catch it, there was going to be a pass interference. Like, there was no way they were going to score that touchdown, and they were going to get the two-point conversion to tie the game. When the ball hit the ground, do you remember this? There was about a three-second lull.
Yeah.
The ball hit the ground, and no one jumped up like we just won the fucking Super Bowl, right? We're like,
yeah,
we're all waiting. We're like, where's the flag? And then it didn't happen, and it was like this.
Holy shit.
Insane.
Pats also got away with 2, though. They shouldn't have won the Seahawks game with Russell, and they shouldn't have won the Atlanta Falcons one.
The Atlanta Falcons one, for me, is where Tom Brady, we became allies. I went to a bookies party at the Wynn Casino at the ballroom, and I'm the biggest square gambling loser in the world. And I got invited to this thing, and it's state-of-the-art, booze and everything. And everybody was on Atlanta to the under. I was already stuck.
Plus what? How about
you? I was stuck $50,000 on the weekend. That's an exorbitant amount of money for me to be stuck. And I'm like, fuck it. It's Tom fucking Brady. I'm going to bet $5,000 on the Patriots.
Live game?
No. Waiting for it. $5,000 on the Patriots. $5,000 to the over. $5,000 to the Patriots to the over.
So you won 30 grand.
Relax. Halftime, it's 28-3. Every bookmaker from here to fucking Planet Coosbane is laughing at me and yentering it up. Halftime, I feel horrible. I go, you know what you need? Like a shoe shine. I had these good Gucci shoes. I'm like, go get a fucking shoe shine and reevaluate your life.
This is a degenerate story.
Relax. This is a true fucking story.
Shoe shine.
It's a fucking true story.
Is this the second nicest thing in the apartment? The whistle pig and those shoes?
I still have them. I'm going to bring out these fucking shoes. You can get a picture of them. They got 20 pairs of laces. So I go get the shoe shine, and the only bigger mush, and I will not give his name, only bigger mush in the world than me, he said you can just unload on Atlanta and the under for the second half. So I said,
fuck it, I'm going opposite.
Patriots second half. Patriots over. All 5,000. 5,000.
Money line.
Yeah, I did it all.
Yeah.
Just blew it open. I'm like, I don't know what excuse I'm going to come up with.
No, they blew that game. Dan Quinn blew that. It was Dan Quinn.
Dan blew, dude.
He could have ran the ball 3 times. They had to score fucking 2 touchdowns.
And they got sacked. I understood the third down. I got it. Dude.
Yeah.
Bookmakers were cursing at me. You're a fucking mush. You're a fucking cancer. Fuck. I was going, hey, man, I didn't even make any bets. But the word gets out when the dough starts flying. Dude, and then I will say it. I shouldn't say it. The guy at the Wynn that at the time ran the sports book when it was in overtime said, there's no way this game's going to land on 3. Patriots are going to go right down and knock it down. I go, how do you know? He goes, because all the money at halftime is out of Vegas. It's gone for robbery reasons. So, you know, I talk about fixes. The NFL and everybody is in. Did you see how fast fucking New England went right down? And
yeah,
punched it
no,
in?
But
are we moving into conspiracy theory?
I don't believe that.
You should stick to poker. You still doing that?
That's exaggerated.
I gave up on poker.
I was at a thing with Neil Everett and Timmy. Remember that charity thing we went to in on the beach in Santa Monica?
Burgess House,
but didn't you make it to the final in that poker tournament?
I won once or twice.
It was like a big charity.
How much?
How much? Well, it was for charity, right?
It's for charity. I won like $100,000 and gave it to
a
baby foundation.
It was some ballers at that thing. There was a lot of people. It was a fairly decent money tournament, and I left because I was bored. There's nothing worse than just watching fucking poker.
My foundation was the anti-Zap Foundation that I raised $100,000 for.
You know, the one thing that I have say that the Anti-Zap Foundation being one of them, I represent an athlete in the NFL.
Is it Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Flash.
How did I know that?
Because we've been plugging him every day for 47 years. You plug him a lot,
yeah. Has he gotten the first touchdown yet?
He is not.
It's coming, though.
But here's the deal, Josh.
It's coming.
I mean, dude, here. Do you want to, like, it was the craziest story, but you don't understand. My story about this is insanity. Okay.
This is crazy.
So this story is nuts. Like, it really, really is. And this is one thing I pat myself on the back for. It was like 8 months ago, Josh is indefinitely suspended, can never play football again for the NFL. Never play again. Or, you know, whatever. Has to go through a bunch of hoops and blah, blah, blah. Never, you know, not saying never, but slim chances. So I have equity in this
foundation, the Anti-Zap Foundation.
I have equity in this Arena Football League. So I got Johnny Manziel to be the quarterback of our football team called the Zappers. And I got fucking Josh Gordon to be wide receiver and whatever. And so Josh, when I called him, I said, Josh, here's the deal. We need help with this league. We need a big name. We're going to pay you X amount. It's COVID-19. You got to come in this shitty ass bubble and stay in here. 4 weeks of football. This is not where you want to be. I know that for a fact. You're not playing Arena Football. You belong back in the NFL. I don't know how to do it. But if you give me 4 weeks of ridiculous, fucking insane, crazy fucking shit in this league, I'm going to get you back in the NFL. So Josh said, okay, let's go. Josh had no manager at the time, no lawyer, no agent. Everybody left him. So he comes down to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, Johnny Manziel's contract was like three plays. And Johnny Manziel, loved Johnny, played like three plays. Josh was the same kind of thing. You know, we just want his name to draw some people into the streams and whatnot. Josh Gordon playing for this Arena Football League, blah, blah, blah. But he played every down. They were down 35-8. He was still out there running, whatever. He gave me 4 weeks of hard football. So I'm like, fuck. I just gave this fucking guy my word, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to get now Josh Gordon back in the NFL. So I called Mark Cuban. I called Michael Rubin. I called Dana White. I called Robert Kraft. I called, you know, being like, hey, look, Josh is this changed fucking guy. He's fucking blah, 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 blah. Long story short, Roger Goodell, I believe that I can get to anybody on the planet, right? Very quickly. Roger Goodell is the hardest guy on planet Earth to actually get to.
He doesn't exist.
He doesn't exist. He really doesn't. And long story short, got Josh into a fucking program where he got tested regularly. Our first goal was to get him reinstated. And so we just needed to get the letter in front of Goodell. So we got the letter back in front of Goodell on his desk. Josh passed 8 fucking drug tests because he was held, you know, for all the weed shit and all that stuff.
But it was weed, right?
Yeah, but at the time, devil's advocate? Okay, at the time, you broke the NFL policy. I don't care where the world's trending towards, but to argue the opposite, look where the world's trending towards. So let's maybe NFL erase some of those prior things and let's give him a different kind of look because, like, this happens now, present day, what he did before, not the same consequences. Right? So he passed all his shit and worked with that. Adam Schefter was a huge help. Adam fucking tweeted out some stuff for us. Adam was like, you know, I hit up Adam. I was like, Adam, get him on the show. Josh and him get on the show, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, we fucking end up now he gets reinstated in the NFL. And so now we're thinking, what's the best team to put him on? So hit up, you know, a bunch of my guys. I hit up fucking Matt Ryan through somebody. I hit up Jared Goff. I hit up fucking Mahomes was the big guy who made shit happen for this whole entire thing. And basically, you know, Josh, you know, got a chance right now to get himself back into the mix. And
into the fray.
He's back in the league. So that's a big step.
Yeah, being a behind the shield is amazing, dude. Represented by the shield, huge thing.
Bro, like, I'll tell you, not what I pulled off, like, whatever, like, it was fucking nuts. And it was just a thing that I took on that, like, there are a lot of people like, oh, you do voiceovers on Instagram, you do whatever. Like, this is like a 6-month project of utilizing a lot of fucking resources. And also, like, but there was no real skin in the game for me. You know, and I just kept my fucking word. And now he is on the Kansas City Chiefs that are 7-4. And he's fucking our guy. So we have a sports agency that we have. got Dalvin Cook, J.K. Dobbins with loyalty above all, and Josh. And Josh is hopefully going to be a fucking
weapon, man.
And if he wins the Super Bowl, I'm going to arrange to have a, I'm going to pull some strings, too. I'm going to get a bottle of Whistle Pig sent to him.
What is Whistle Pig?
That's right there. That's the whiskey we're
Dude,
drinking.
How have you not been looking at this?
I've been zinking this whole time.
Are you looking?
Hey, Bob, Bob's not been really having much of the whistle. Not like on. I thought
I
he would.
Be, I mean, my girl is calling.
Have
I mean,
you seen? Can you pronounce that?
Yeah, Lapalutas.
It's Oompa Loompa. And you know the Oompa Loompas.
Lapalupa.
Lapalupa.
Lapalupa. But it's you used Pacific. To live with Oompa Loompas zapping at the Wonka Factory.
You're out of your mind.
Now you're drinking Whistle Pig, Lapalupa.
The alcohol content in this, to me,
is 6,000.
No, it's 104.8 proof.
Yep. Wonderful.
I am going to do push ups and shadow box nude.
I love it. It's always, go ahead.
Let me do this because I've taken up a lot of time here, and I feel like I need to get out of this apartment.
It's a condominium.
I feel like something's happening to me.
It's
like
a condominium.
Some sort of weird,
the worst in here.
Juju descending upon me in this apartment, in this condo. I do want to thank both of you guys for doing this, Bob Menery.
There's no need to even thank
the
either
Full Send podcast, the number one podcast, YouTube. Like the biggest thing going on
Steve
on the YouTube.
Yeah, Kyle, Nelk Boy,
Salim. We got a big show.
Josh Gordon, watch him. Watch the Chiefs. He's going to get that touchdown. It's coming.
What about the Bounce Back podcast?
We're
coming up.
I'm going to be on that one. I'm coming on.
We're just going to run it back on his thing.
Yeah, let's
I want this back. I'll find out where our relationships are in the new year.
You
All
call
three
me.
Of us. I want the three of us in together to find out where we are in our relationship.
We do a one-year anniversary
2022.
Right now.
And see how it goes. Guys, this has been funny because, you know, I generally tend to be a lot more meticulous, but this is a lot of fun to just pick up, grab the shit, come out, knock out a podcast. It was a lot of fun talking to you guys, and I will absolutely do this again anytime.
Was it good enough for you?
It was fantastic.
Great talk,
man.
Right?
Yeah. It's Danny Dunn. That's
the way it is. There's
Bobby.
No fucking this
Bobby,
is the way it is.
Danny Dunn is Philly style.
I was
that is
anxiety,
the most Philly
I mean.
Style any, thing you'll ever
any
get.
Any scenario where I'm sitting around a table with a couple of good guys, drinking some good whiskey, cigars, I would do it 7 days
I'm keeping
a week
this whistle
place
pig.
On. So you keep it, man. It's all for
no,
you.
Happy
not Christmas.
Keeping the whistle pig.
I'm keeping
I
the
I will leave
whistle
the whistle pig with you. And it's Bob, if you want whistle pig, I'll get you whistle
I
pig.
I love it. You guys are the best. You're the best fucking people.
Thank you, everybody.
Zinkadelphia.